every single day. The steel holding up your bridges, the ships bringing in your goods, and even the power grids keeping your lights on are quietly trying to destroy themselves.
Yeah, it's a relentless chemical process.
It really is. And replacing all that corroded steel, it actually accounts for a staggering 3.4% of all global carbon emissions.
Which is just a massive number.
It's wild. So today, we are doing a deep dive into a stack of, well, highly technical sources. We've got data sheets, corporate presentations, and rigorous testing results from an Australian company called Spark Technologies.
Right, to see how they're finally stopping this destruction.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. We have this immense global problem. And for years, material scientists have pointed to a material that, honestly, it sounds like pure science fiction is the solution.
You're talking about graphene.
Graphene, yeah. I mean, it is 200 times stronger than steel and incredibly light. But the core tension in our stack of documents today is that until very recently, we couldn't actually use it to protect our infrastructure.
And the scale of that destruction is something most people simply never see until, you know, a bridge is suddenly closed for maintenance. Protecting steel isn't just a niche engineering issue.
No, not at all.
It is a massive environmental and economic challenge that affects literally every supply chain on Earth. To understand the fix, you really have to look at what steel actually is at a chemical level.
Okay, let's hear it.
So we take iron ore from the Earth, which is essentially stable, happy rock, and we dump an immense amount of thermal energy into it inside a blast furnace to strip away the oxygen. We force it into becoming steel.
Right.
But nature always prefers a low energy state.
So basically, the steel in our infrastructure is like an impatient rock constantly trying to return to nature.
That is a perfect way to visualize the mechanism of rest. It's holding on to all that manufactured energy and just looking for any excuse to release it.
So it wants to grab oxygen and water from the air and just turn back into dirt.
Exactly. It never stops trying to revert. That's why we paint it. We build a physical polymer wall between the impatient rock and the environment. And graphene is, theoretically at least, the ultimate wall.
Because it's a two-dimensional honeycomb lattice of carbon.
Right.
Just a single atom thick.
Yeah, just one atom.
The surface area stat in these technical sheets is just wild. I mean, just one single gram of graphene have a theoretical surface area of 2,500 square meters.
It's hard to even picture that.
You could cover half a football field with a gram of this stuff. It's crazy.
And because that carbon honeycomb structure is so densely packed, it is virtually impermeable. Oxygen molecules, water molecules, and corrosive salt ions, they simply cannot fit through the microscopic gaps in the carbon lattice.
Wow.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, humanity has known about graphene for over 20 years. I mean, it even won the Nobel Prize in 2010.
Right, I remember that being a huge deal.
But we're only just now figuring out how to get it out of the laboratory and actually apply it to a massive suspension bridge.
Which feels like a massive disconnect to me. If we have the ultimate impermeable shield, why isn't it already mixed into every single can of paint at the hardware store?
Well, it comes down to the physics of powders. Traditional graphene is manufactured and shipped as a dry powder, and when you are dealing with a nanomaterial that is only a few atoms thick, the surface area is so immense that microscopic forces, specifically van der Waals forces, cause those tiny flakes to aggressively attract one another.
Hey,
van der Waals forces. It basically means they want to stick together, they want to stack back up into graphite, which is essentially just regular pencil lead.
Oh, I see. So when a paint manufacturer tries to dump this high-tech powder into a massive vat of thick, sticky epoxy resin, it's like, well, it's like trying to mix dry cocoa powder into a glass of ice-cold milk.
That is exactly what it's like.
You can stir as fast as you want, but you just get these dry, stubborn clumps floating on the surface. They just completely refuse to integrate into the liquid.
Yeah, and the industrial reality is even more frustrating than the milk analogy. Those clumps, or agglomerations as they call them, just spin around uselessly in the commercial mixers.
Spinning clumps, not exactly what you want in your high-tech paint.
Right. To break them apart, paint companies used to have to pump the resin through highly specialized, energy-intensive milling machines, sometimes repeatedly, just to force a uniform blend.
That sounds incredibly expensive and time-consuming.
It is. And even after all that time and energy, the dispersion was often uneven. You end up with, and the engineering behind a liquid dispersion changes the entire manufacturing dynamic. Instead of handing a paint company a bag of stubborn, clumpy powder, Spark suspends the graphene flakes in a compatible liquid carrier.
So the liquid does the work for them.
Exactly. This liquid sneaks between the microscopic graphene layers and keeps them physically separated. So when you pour EcoSpark into a vat of standard paint, it disperses effortlessly within seconds.
In the demonstration videos we reviewed for this deep dive, you can actually watch the physics in action.
Oh, the videos are fascinating.
A scoop of traditional graphene powder hits the resin and immediately balls up, just spinning in circles. But the EcoSpark liquid disperses instantly. It's literally like dropping food coloring into a glass of water.
It seamlessly blends through the whole volume of the paint. And for paint companies, this efficiency means smoother results with vastly less time and energy spent trying to force a stubborn material to cooperate.
But getting it to do that couldn't have been easy.
No, what's fascinating here is the sheer amount of trial and error it took to achieve that perfect liquid suspension. Graphene isn't a single standardized commodity.
Right, there are different types.
There are over 700 different commercial grades available globally, and they vary wildly in flake size, thickness, and defect rates. Spark had to systematically test hundreds of these variants to find the exact Goldilocks flakes.
The ones that are just right.
Exactly. Flakes that would remain completely stable in a liquid media for months without slowly settling to the bottom of the drum.
Wait, if I'm running a massive global paint company, I'm not throwing out my 80-year-old heavily tested epoxy formulas just to accommodate this new liquid. Do manufacturers have to rebuild their entire paint chemistry from scratch to use this?
Not at all. That is the crucial business advantage of their drop-in approach. EcoSpark is designed to be added directly to the commercially available solvent-based or water-based protective coatings that the industry already trusts.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it requires only a tiny dosage, usually about 2% by volume added right at the point of manufacture. You are taking the existing formula and simply supercharging it.
Okay, so the paint company barely changes their workflow. They mix in the 2%, and it sprays onto the steel perfectly evenly. But how does that incredibly thin layer of dispersed graphene actually stop our impatient rock from rusting?
It creates what material scientists call a tortuous path.
A tortuous path.
Yeah. Imagine you are a water molecule or a corrosive chloride ion from ocean spray. You land on the painted surface and try to diffuse downward to reach the metal.
Okay, I'm with you.
In standard paint, you can eventually find a relatively straight microscopic path through the polymer chains. But when you add EcoSpark, you are introducing millions of microscopic impenetrable brick walls.
So the corrosive elements hit a graphene sheet, realize they can't go through it, and have to move sideways to get around it.
Exactly. Then they hit another one and have to move the other way. You force the water and salt to navigate a complex, winding, three-dimensional maze.
Microscopic maze.
By exponentially increasing the distance the water has to travel, you drastically slow down the diffusion rate to the steel. That physical barrier is highly effective.
The water simply takes too long to reach the metal substrate to initiate the chemical reaction.
Precisely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because blocking the water with a microscopic maze is just the primary defense. The data sheets outline a secondary mechanism where the graphene essentially acts as a microscopic shock absorber.
And that is crucial because the physical environment of global infrastructure is absolutely brutal. A massive suspension bridge doesn't just sit statically.
Right, it's flexing under traffic and weather.
It flexes under the weight of thousands of cars. It expands baking in the summer heat and contracts freezing in the winter cold. All of that continuous movement stresses the rigid epoxy paint, eventually causing microscopic microcracks.
And once a microcrack forms, the water has a direct highway straight down to the steel. It completely bypasses that tortuous path we just talked about.
But because graphene is inherently flexible and incredibly strong, having it uniformly distributed through the paint actually absorbs that mechanical stress. It physically delays that initial cracking from happening.
Oh, wow. And what about macro damage? Like if a tugboat scrapes against a steel pylon and physically gouges the paint away?
In that case, the graphene helps prevent a process called creep. Normally, rust starts at the exposed gouge and aggressively creeps underneath the surrounding healthy paint, flaking it off in large chunks.
That sounds like a nightmare to fix.
It is. But the graphene matrix reinforces the edge of the damage, acting like a structural net that makes it much harder for the rust to peel the coating back.
Which all sounds incredible in a controlled laboratory. But if I'm an asset owner in charge of a multi-billion-dollar offshore wind farm, I can't just take a lab technician's word for it.
Of course not.
I can't paint my wind turbines, wait 15 years, and they go, oops, I guess the graphene didn't work. How do they definitively prove this technology protects infrastructure before it's deployed?
They use a globally recognized testing protocol called ISO 12446 Annex B. Think of it as a time machine for paint.
A time machine?
Yeah. They take steel panels coated with commercial epoxies, some with the EcoSpark additive and some without, and they force them to age decades in just 6 months.
The parameters of this test in the sources are intense. We're talking 4,200 hours of continuous cyclical abuse.
It's a true torture test.
They plunge the panels into rapid temperature extremes, blast them with concentrated ultraviolet radiation to degrade the polymers, and subject them to relentless, highly corrosive salt spray.
It's designed to replicate 15 to 25 years of life in the harshest offshore environments imaginable.
And the results?
The results from adding just that 2% volume of EcoSpark showed up to a 40% improvement in anti-corrosive performance in standard commercial epoxies.
Wow.
And in specific formulations, the overall anti-corrosive improvement hit an astonishing 70%.
That is massive. And what surprised me most in the sources is that these massive improvements aren't just limited to the traditional heavy-duty industrial paints that smell like a chemical factory. They found an enormous breakthrough in water-based coatings.
Yeah, that's a huge shift. The entire industrial paint sector is currently under intense regulatory pressure to move toward water-based coatings. Traditional solvent-based paints rely heavily on volatile organic compounds, or VOCs.
If you've ever painted a room in your house and had to open all the windows because the fumes were making your eyes water and your head spin, those are VOCs evaporating into the air.
Exactly. Governments globally are cracking down on them to reduce toxicity and industrial smog.
So water-based paints solve that toxicity problem. They use water as the carrier, which evaporates cleanly, leaving low odor and almost zero toxic emissions.
The catch is the underlying chemistry. When water evaporates, the polymer film it leaves behind isn't as tightly bound or densely cross-linked as a solvent-based epoxy. It is inherently weaker against heavy-duty industrial rust.
So asset owners were stuck having to choose between saving the environment with water-based paint or actually protecting their billion-dollar bridges with the toxic stuff.
Until now. When Spark dropped the EcoSpark additive into commercial water-based acrylic epoxies, the ISO time machine testing showed up to a 60% reduction in corrosion.
A 60% reduction in water-based paints. That is incredible.
They managed to take the environmentally friendly, lower-performing option and give it the heavy-duty structural muscle of a toxic solvent coating. That technical loop alone unlocks an entirely new market segment projected to hit nearly $3 billion by the end of the decade.
Lab tests and time machines are great, but Spark took this out into the actual world too. They've been running field trials for over a year on structures that take an absolute beating.
Oh, absolutely. The Cape Jaffa Lighthouse in South Australia is a perfect proving ground.
It's right on the coast, right?
Yeah, it is a historic cast iron structure, constantly battered by abrasive coastal winds, southern ocean swells, and relentless salt spray. Spark partnered with Dulux, seamlessly adding EcoSpark to their commercial Durbuild STE coating and applied it straight to the lighthouse.
They are also working with the South Australian government on the Streaky Bay Jetty, where the coated steel piles are sitting directly in the harsh, churning ocean environment.
And beyond government infrastructure, they've initiated active collaborations with massive global heavyweights in the energy and resources sector, companies like Aramco, BHP, and Santos.
That's a serious lineup.
And the commercial validation is already materializing. Late in 2025, Spark secured its first major commercial sale to an Asian coatings company.
But wait, if demand blows up, can they actually source enough graphene to make this stuff?
Yes. To guarantee they can meet the impending global demand without supply chain hiccups, they signed a strategic agreement in early 2026 with Hydrograph that ensures a high-quality, steady supply of North American graphene.
So the tech works. The big players are testing it, and the commercial sales are starting. But let's look at the actual bottom line for the people buying this.
This raises an important question. If adding a high-tech nanomaterial like EcoSpark makes the bucket of paint slightly more expensive up front, why are these massive infrastructure owners so eager to pay the premium?
Because honestly, the bucket of paint is basically the cheapest item on the invoice when you are maintaining a massive piece of infrastructure.
Exactly. The return on investment is entirely driven by the logistics of the application process.
Walk us through that.
Well, if you have to repaint an offshore oil rig or a massive suspension bridge, you are paying for specialized labor, barges, cranes, and massive safety encapsulation systems. You have to essentially wrap the bridge in negative pressure shrink wrap to ensure the old flaking paint doesn't contaminate the ocean below.
Not to mention the asset downtime. If a major port facility has to shut down a loading crane to erect scaffolding, strip it, and repaint it, they are losing astronomical amounts of money every single hour that crane sits idle.
So, if a standard industrial paint job lasts 10 years, and the addition of EcoSpark pushes that timeline out by just an extra 2 or 3 years, effectively extending the asset's coating life by 18% to 21%, the asset owner saves an absolute fortune.
They completely avoid that multi-million dollar scaffolding and labor circus for several more years.
Precisely.
The life cycle assessments in our sources put hard numbers to this. We are looking at up to 25% savings in recoatable steel maintenance costs over the life of the asset.
And from an environmental standpoint, because you aren't firing up the blast furnaces to manufacture replacement steel as often, or deploying fleets of diesel-burning maintenance barges as frequently, you achieve an 18 to 21% reduction in carbon emissions.
It is a massive win for both the financial bottom line and corporate ESG goals.
And Spark isn't just operating out of a small research lab anymore. They've already scaled this up for the global market.
They built a facility, right?
Mm.
Yeah, a highly efficient commercial manufacturing facility in Adelaide. Because the liquid dispersion process is so streamlined, it only cost them about $100,000 to set up this specific production line.
Wow. That's incredibly low capital expenditure for this industry.
It really is. And it is currently capable of producing enough EcoSpark additive to dose 4.5 million liters of paint every single year.
So what does this all mean? We started with a notorious problem, an ultimate wonder material, graphene, that acted like stubborn cocoa powder, clumping up and refusing to mix into our industrial paints.
Yeah, real bottleneck.
But by rethinking the delivery system and engineering a plug-and-play liquid dispersion, Spark Technologies turned that clumpy powder into a seamless additive.
It's a total paradigm shift.
EcoSpark effortlessly drops into the paints we already use, building microscopic mazes and shock absorbers that drastically extend the life of our global steel infrastructure, save billions in maintenance, and massively reduce carbon emissions.
It really forces us to rethink how we upgrade our built environment. If a two-dimensional lattice of carbon can act as a microscopic shield and shock absorber for massive marine bridges, water-based coatings, and historic lighthouses, what happens when we start applying these plug-and-play nanomaterial additives to the concrete in our homes or the plastics we use every day?
That's a wild thought.
What other aging materials in our world are just waiting for a microscopic upgrade?
That is a fascinating question to leave you with. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the invisible yet incredibly powerful world of material science. Keep questioning the world around you, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.